That's all I want to share with you this morning, what the Lord's laid on my heart. And we'll go on to the house. How long that lasts will be up to Him. Amen? Can this side, on my left side, can y'all handle 20 minutes today? Can y'all handle 20? Middle, can y'all handle 20 minutes this morning? Right side, can y'all handle 20 minutes this morning? Well, we got a solid hour, amen? We're good to go. We got a solid hour. Brother Lee showed me his phone. You know, you always, there's always a blessing if you'll look around. This week, I got stuck on the law, and the first word they hollered when they put me on that law, they hollered, "Hey, Brother John Stidham." Boy, they were aggravating me all week. And I was sitting there on that law, and Brother Lee, I was talking to the guest pastor there, the home pastor there, and Brother Lee walked up, and he asked him, he said, "How long do you preach on a Sunday morning?" And he started fumbling, and I knew what was going because I know Brother Lee. He started fumbling around there, and he said, "Well, my daddy," and he got into what his daddy told him to do, that people, you know, your rear end can't handle but so much, then all that. And he said, "About 15, 20 minutes about what I do." Brother Lee looked at me, slapped me on the shoulder, and said, "Thank you for that," and he walked off. So this morning, I got 60 minutes, 20, 40, 60. I want to talk to you this morning about relying on the Holy Ghost. Told you last Sunday that I made a mistake and I cleared it up from the sacred desk. And all week long I studied on this, relying on the Holy Ghost. I love to have fun. Whoever tells you that when you get saved, fun's out of the window, they didn't get what I got. Amen. I love to pick. I love to have a good time. Friday, Sister Vicky hollered mud and I just handed her that shovel. She said, "Get me some mud over here." Just like to have fun. Amen. I mean, I don't know. When I got saved, that didn't change. I just like to have fun. I like to cut up and have a good time. But more than that, I like to rely on the Holy Ghost, Brother J.D. I love to rely on the Holy Ghost of heaven. Let's get into the text and we'll go from there. Romans 8, verse number 26. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Thank you, sister, this morning for Children's Church. Goes right along with it. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And we know, whoo, that ought to be an amen. And we know, us that are born again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Father, I love You and I thank You for this day. I thank You for the air that I breathe. I know it's not my air, but it is Yours, Father. And I know that You can take that air from me this morning whenever You see fit. But Lord, I thank You that You gave me one more day. Lord, I pray right now that You bless the reading of Your Word, bless the Word that'll come out. I pray it be clear. I pray it, pray it be correct, Father. Remove anything from my mind that doesn't need to be there. Let only come out what does need to be there, Father. And Lord, if they be one lost this morning, I pray, Father, that I don't put them under conviction. I pray that another man does not, but I pray that the Holy Ghost of heaven would get on them this morning, convict them of their sin, they turn their life over to You, and then they start living an abundant life in Christ Jesus. Father, I love You and I thank You. I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to title my message, "Relying on the Holy Ghost," or "Relying on the Holy Spirit of God." We went on a mission trip this last week, and there's a lot of things that we rely on, Brother David Barnes. When we go on that trip, we rely on the church, You, to pay our way. We rely on You. It's a mission of the church, and we rely on You, and y'all send us to go as a church, and y'all send us out there. Y'all have bought a trailer for us to haul the stuff on, and You pray for us as we go down life's highway. I think about all the things that we rely on as we go on that trip and as we leave and we go. I think that as we get there, we've relied on Brother David and Sister Dolores to have us a place to stay. It may be suitable, it may not be, but at least we can lay our head. Can I get a witness this morning? Found a little rat. a little dead rat, and Sister Cynthia was laying over there asleep on her cot. I went right up to her face, that far from her with that rat, right there in her face, and I said, "Sister Cynthia." She opened her eyes, and there's that dead rat staring her eye to eye, so she about flipped off her cot. Hey, but listen to this. I thank God for that dead rat. Amen. She was alive. She's not dead. I thank God for that. And what I'm trying to tell you is we relied on so much this week. And then not only did we rely on that, we relied on the cooks to cook for us and to have us some warm meals and to have us food. We relied on the shower trailers that you had to go in and you had to take showers in. They was not convenient. You had to walk out there when it was raining. You had to walk out there when it was sunshine. And it was just a lot of things that were inconvenient that we had to rely on when we got there. I thank God the next morning when we got up, Brother Garrett and Brother Lee, we relied on a mixer to crank when you got there. When you pulled it, it crunk and it mixed mud. I thank God that we relied on the scaffold to hold us in the air to do the job that we needed done. I thank God that we relied on the mud when it got there and the brick that it would stick to the wall. I thank God that we relied on the people that was there that were laying the brick. But there was one thing that we rely on a whole lot when we got there. And it was a plumb line or a string that would hold level. They'd put up a pole on each corner and measure it out. They'd measure to see where they were at. And what they would do is they'd tie a string from one end to the other, and it had blocks on each side. And one man would holler to the other, and when he was ready to go up a level or to move on up, he would holler, raise the line. So they would raise that line. And what that line done is it kept you where you needed to be. It didn't let you get low. It didn't let you get high, but you laid to that line. And we relied on that line, so when we got done, there was a good product left for the home church. Can I say to you this morning, out of all that stuff that we relied on all week long, there is one person that it could not run without him this morning. There's one person that it could not run with without him. After everybody I had mentioned and everybody that got to go and everybody that prayed there, it's one person without him. We could not have made it all week long because it was hot, tempers fly, it gets hot, it gets irritable, and it gets all these things. But there is one thing, one person that was there this week that the trip could have not went without him, and that is the Holy Ghost of heaven. And we rely on him more than we ever know. And I want to show you this morning why we rely on the Holy Ghost of heaven. I want to give you four things this morning, and I promise I'll be within an hour. The Bible says, number one, we rely on the Holy Ghost. If you'll look with me in verse number 26 of the text, we rely on the Holy Ghost for that it helpeth our infirmities. He says here, likewise the Spirit, he also helpeth our infirmities. You say, preacher, what is that when he helpeth our infirmity? He helps our weakness, or he comes to one's aid. He is right there beside you, leading you where you need to go. It is that Holy Ghost of heaven that arrives right there beside you, and he comes up beside you, and he warms you up when you're cold. He cools you down when you're hot. He gives you water when you're thirsty. He gives you what you need when he comes up, and he helps our infirmities when we know not what to pray, when we don't know what to do or how to pray, because he knows the will of God. Look with me in the Bible in verse 26. It says, when he helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. Hey friends, I want to ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you had a great decision that you had to be made and you needed to rely on something or somebody, and you knew that it needed to be a great decision and it'd be a big outcome by the way that it went? I want you to know, have you ever been there and somebody that was sick this morning? My mama's done fell at home, and that's where my sister is. We woke up this morning and my little boy, he sounded like somebody had been smoking for 100 years, and they took him to the urgent care. You said, preacher, you could have called in. You could have called in sick. You could have got Brother JD. Hey, this morning I didn't know what to do but get behind that sacred desk and preach the word of God. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, he helps our infirmities when we don't know what to pray, where to pray, or when to pray. You know what the Holy Ghost does? He steps in. Have you ever been a place in your life and you didn't have the words to say? You didn't know how to pray. You didn't know what to pray. All you knew is that you need needed to pray, and it was all over you, all down in your soul, and you just sat there quiet. You didn't audible a word. You didn't say nothing. The only thing you done was sit there under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and you just say, God, please. God, please help me. God, please help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. You didn't even know why you needed help, but all you knew is that you needed help, and you need it from God. You said, preacher, did that prayer get through? I want you to know that He does that for us. He helps our infirmities, but He also maketh intercession. He is the one that takes that prayer. He is the one that takes that prayer. When you pray, it goes to Jesus, and we say, in Jesus' name. And you know what Jesus does? He takes that prayer that you say, and He takes it right to God. He takes it right to the throne room of heaven. Can I say to you this morning, we have a high priest, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And the Holy Ghost of heaven, He gets there and He helps our infirmities when we're weak and we don't know what to say or where to go. He helps them infirmities, but He also, what does He do? He maketh intercession. Have you ever been there when you didn't know what to do, but you knew you needed somebody to intercede on your behalf? Look with me in the text here, if you will, in verse number 26. I love this morning. He helps our infirmities, but He maketh intercession. He stands in the gap when we don't know what to do. Amen. Have you ever had that in your life? Look what He says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself. The Spirit itself. Hey, can I say to you this morning, I thank God for the Holy Spirit of heaven, don't you? Without the Holy Spirit of heaven, I'd be lost. He is the one that drawed me under Holy Ghost conviction. Look here. He says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You get there in your life, and the Holy Ghost, it indwells. He indwells a believer. He knows what we do. He knows what we need. And He knows the will of God for us. And as we get there and we get to praying and we don't know what to pray, have you ever been there in your life and you knew that you just needed help, but you didn't know where your help was going to come from? And you looked around, and the only thing that was left was the Holy Ghost of heaven. And it was God Almighty that had to reach down after everything that we had, Brother David. And we relied on everything at the end of the day. Hey, couldn't be a brick laid if it wasn't for God. I want you to know, on Wednesday, we woke up and was going to work. And as we got out there, in 10 years that I know of, we've never been like cats and dogs, and we couldn't work. And every one of us was walking around like we'd been beat down and discouraged and about ready to give up. But you know what? Even though we can prepare for everything that comes our way and we do what we can, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to God to what we get done. Amen. Hey, when it started raining, you know what? We couldn't do nothing about it. So what did you do? You just go back and do what you know to do. Just go back and do what you know to do. Look what He says here. He helpeth our infirmity, and He maketh intercession. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. When He makes that intercession in our life on our behalf before God, you say, preacher, does He intercede for me? If you're a saved man and you talk to God, He intercedes for you. If you're a lost man and you call on the Lord for salvation, it's that Spirit that intercedes for you. It is that Spirit that takes that lost man's prayer to heaven. Look here this morning, Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. What the Bible says, He helps our infirmities and He maketh intercession. Praying always, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This morning, can I say to you, we rely on the Holy Spirit because He is our helper. Can I say to you this morning, we rely on the Holy Spirit because He is the one that maketh intercession when we don't know what to pray. But I see something else in verse number 27. Not only is He our helper, not only is He the one that maketh intercession, but He is the one that seals and searches the heart of man. He is the one. Don't you search your own heart. Because you won't find much wrong with your own heart. Can I get an amen? You search your own heart, you won't find much wrong with it. Now, you can search another man or woman's heart, and you can see their wickedness, and it's as clear as it can be. Boy, it's as clear as it can be. You can see when another man's wrong. You can see when another man's... I've heard preachers say, boy, that man out there was under conviction. What made you think he's under conviction? Squirming? That ain't got nothing to do with conviction. Tears flowing down his face? That ain't got nothing to do with conviction. I've heard other preachers say, boy, I put him under conviction. I thank God that no man's put me under conviction but the Holy Ghost of heaven. Can I get an amen? This morning, I want you to know that he maketh that intercession. He intercedes on our behalf, and he is the one that searches your heart. He is the one that seals it this morning. I thank God for that he searches all men's heart. He searches it high, and he searches it low. He doesn't leave anything uncovered. If there's something in that heart that needs to be made right, he'll bring it to your attention. He'll bring it right to where you're at, and it'll be up to you if you'll get right with God. The Bible says here that Paul said here that he searcheth all men's heart. Look with me, if you will, here in this text, and I thank God for that he searches our heart. Look what he says here in verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This morning, when he searches that heart, he searches it in the right way. He doesn't search it in any other way but the right way. He searches it in the way that is from heaven. Turn with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. How he searches that heart of an individual this morning. I love that, how he searches that heart. Ephesians chapter number 1 in verse number 13, we see that not only does he search a heart, but he seals it. When a man gets saved, he seals. You said, preacher, why does he seal it? He seals it by the Holy Ghost with the promise, because he makes sure that the merchandise has not been tampered with. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. When he saves you, he seals you to make sure that the merchandise has not been tampered with. Look with me in Ephesians 1:13. He helps us, he makes us, he searches. In whom you has also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. I'm going to stop right there. Ye were sealed. Sealed. With that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Sealed. Let me find a mama in here. Let me find a mama that's real picky. Sister Caitlin Cagle. You got a spirit like my wife's got about you. Real picky. I got to tell the truth, right? Yeah, truth, truth. Baby Adeline. Is that, I get that correct? Y'all, why don't y'all name y'all's kids JB, BJ, AJ, CJ? Why do we got to go, man, you see the list of some of these names? She said, you're going to call them out? I said, there ain't no way you can get them all. I mean, you go to a funeral, somebody in their 90s, you can pronounce every name. You go to a funeral and they got kids, grandkids on there now, you can't pronounce not one of them on there. They're spelled every different way. But get back to that, he searches that heart and he seals it. Sister Caitlin, do you mind if I use you for just a minute? Baby Adeline is your baby. And you birthed her into the Cagle family. And she is sealed in the Cagle family. You love her a lot? Lay your life down for her? Yeah, I figured you would. I'm going to ask you a question. What if you went to get baby formula? Just say you did. Let's use that for illustration. You went to get baby formula. Or if she gets older, you go to get baby formula. And you open that lid and that seal is gone. You're not going to give it to her. But what about if I told you it'd be okay? It's okay, sister, it's okay. The seal's just gone. It was left off. It was misplaced or something. But just give it to Adeline. But what about if I told you, it's free. Here, just take it. You ain't got to pay for it. Just give this to your child. Why wouldn't you? It's been tampered with. It's been messed with. The seal's gone. What about the outside looked awful? But when you took it looked like it'd been through the ringer. Look like me after a mission trip. You see all this growing out on the sides? You can't shave where there ain't no mirror on behind, amen? But, it just looked rough. It just looked rough and battered and beat. But you took the lid off and it was completely sealed. No hole on the outside, it just looked rough. Would you still use it? It's what's on the inside that matters. You're exactly right. Can I say to you, God's not looking for perfection. God's not looking at how pretty you are, how cool you are, how smart you are, or your education. It matters what's on the inside. He said that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And when you get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he puts a seal on you by the Holy Ghost that cannot be tampered with. Satan can't tamper with it. This world can't tamper with it. No man's hand can tamper with it. When he puts that seal on it, he has sealed you against that day. And what day is that? That's that day that you come up short. That day that you're not who you're supposed to be. That day that you didn't act like you should have acted. But you know what? It's by the Holy Ghost of heaven that we're going to make it to heaven. Can I get an amen? He has sealed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's put the stamp on it. And he says it may look battered. It may look beaten. You may see me on the ground crying and I can't even audible out a word. You may see me in distress. But you remember this, what's on the inside makes all the difference in the world. Amen. He says this. Let me show you this. He has sealed us with that Holy Ghost promise. Man, I thank God for this. He has sealed us. I see this. I'm going to give you this. I'm getting on. He helps us. He makes his intercession. He seals us and searches us. Whew, that's good. And he teaches us. And he teaches us all things. He teaches us. Look with me in verse 28. He teaches us that all things work together for good. You say, preacher, how did that rain Wednesday turn out for good? How did Wednesday not work and turn out good? Some of the older folks got sleep. Some of the younger folks played games. We all got to do a little something different. But I come to find out that all things worked good to those that love God and called according to His purpose. We know that all things, look here, he teaches us. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? The question has never been, does God love you? There's not a person in the devil's hell that God don't love. They had to cross over His love to get there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We've seen some things happen this week. Monday, Brother Roy got bit by a tick. His leg swole up. He's in the hospital now, red all the way up to here. Thank God he was there, not at home. He was able to be took care of. We've seen Caitlin get sick, had to go to Nashville to the hospital. Thank God she was at the mission trip and not at home. She might have died laying at home by the word of the doctor. Could have died if she'd have been at home. Y'all would have been gone. Nobody check on her. She'd have died at home. Thank God she was on the mission trip. Thank God we was on the mission trip. We was there and they had a water leak in the ceiling. They called and told him, said, you got water leaking in the ceiling. Come in the next night. Riley Cagle screamed at him. He said, the ceilings fell in. I thought, boy, you done been kidding me way too much this week. Walk in there and the ceilings fell in. But thank God we were there. Thank God that all things worked together. Could have been a bigger part of the ceiling fall. God is going to put you in places that you need to be if you allow Him to put you there. I'm going to just give you this. All things work together to good. All things. The good and the bad work together. The bitter and the sweet work together. You wouldn't know what sweet is if you didn't have bitter. You wouldn't. Happy and sad go together. You wouldn't know what it is to be happy if you didn't know what it was to be sad. Healthy and sick. You wouldn't enjoy how healthy you are today if you hadn't never been sick. Calm and storms. The calmness in your life and the storms in the life. You wouldn't know how to handle a storm if you had never had calm. Life and death all work together. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Preacher, I've been praying a long time and He ain't gave me my need. You ain't needed it yet. You ain't needed it yet. Or He had done supplied it. There's been times I know the date's coming due. I got to have it by then. I got to have this right now. And I'm wanting it on the 10th and He may give it that it ain't due to the 20th. I don't like waiting to the 19th, but sometimes He waits to the 19th. But it ain't a need until the 20th. Do you understand? This morning He supplies all your need according to His riches, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. I want to read this to you, a little story, and we're going to close. A group of men were carrying on a friendly conversation, talking about all things work together for good. And they were talking about small things to pay attention to them. The small things. If you're always looking for big things, you're going to be in trouble. It's the small things. It's the little bitty things. And they were talking about small things to pay attention to. And one man said, can you believe that a pair of socks changed the entire course of my life? And he told him, he said, it's true. Once I planned to take a trip with some of my friends on a canal boat, but 2 days before we intended to leave, I ignored my foot by chopping wood. I injured my foot while chopping wood. Very small cut, but the blue dye in my socks that I wore poisoned the wound so I couldn't go on the trip. While my friends were gone, a powerful preacher came through the town holding a revival. I decided to go, and the message touched me deeply, and as a result, I surrendered my life to God and got born again. Afterwards, I saw my life needed a lot of changing. I determined I needed an education, and that would help me be more useful for the work of God. For we know that all things work together for good. And the man that gave that statement was the 20th president of the United States of America, James A. Garfield. This morning, I want to leave you with this. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit of God this morning? He's the one that draws you to salvation. He's the one that comforts you. He's the one that's there with you every day. He lives inside of you if you're saved. How is your relationship with Him today? Do you ignore Him? Or do you allow Him to lead your life? Do you ignore Him? Or do you allow Him to lead your life? We was on the mission trip, and there's a bunch of apartments to the left of the building. And there was a young man there looking at him by my own experience. See, I can't witness to some people that you do. You go to places that I can't go, but I know somebody that's been on down the road I've been down, and I can tell it when they walk up. And this young man walked up to me, and I didn't know Brother John Wise on the Lord, but I do now as the week went on. I know that all things work together good. Yeah, I had to be called John Stidham. That's okay. Hey, that's okay. Amen. And he said, hey, I'm going to be putting some stuff down here. I need a Lowell driver. Can you come down there? And I told Brother Brian Scott, I said, man, I'm going to get in trouble being down there. I'm going to let my end go up here. So I kept working back and forth, trying to help that man. And as the week went on and went on and went on and went on, he started opening up to me a little more, here a little, there a little. And I asked him, I said, where do you go to church at? Is this your home church? Uh-uh. I just live up there and I just walk down to help them. This ain't your home church? No. Do you go to church? No. He said, man, I have he's 28 years old. He said, I had a thriving business, doing great. Man, just money, everything. There's some people here and give witness to that, doing great. Got money, got a home, got cars. That don't mean you're blessed. What you got doesn't mean you're blessed. Because if you're only blessed by what you got, when it's gone, are you still blessed? If what you got, you consider, well, I'm blessed because I got this. That's not means you're blessed. Well, everything that I got's paid for, preacher, that's not a blessing. He said, I had everything and lost it all because of drugs. I said, God, I know why I'm here right now. All things work together for good. And he said, man, them people in there, they ain't like me. So what by that point, I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, but you know what, son? If it had never been for her, I'd never heard about him. Talking about the church. If it wasn't for her, talking about the church, I'd never. All things work together for good. 20 years later, I got to share my story with a boy in Woodbury, Tennessee. And I got to explain to him that no matter where you've been, what you've done, God can use it. And I said, I don't know if you need the church as bad as the church needs you. And he looked at me and he said, what? I said, I don't know if you need them as bad as they need you. You sitting in here this morning and you say, preacher, I don't know what good it is. Let me say this to you. It's good that you're here. It's good that you're here. All things work together for good. The bad, the ugly, the sick, it all works for good. If I'd have been on that wall over there doing mud, doing whatever, I wouldn't have had time to talk to that young man. You said, did he give his life to Jesus? I asked him, was he born again? He didn't give his life to Jesus. But there was a seed planted right then. And I got home yesterday evening. And David Barnes sent me a text, just a picture of a humongous rock, humongous. It wasn't that big on my phone, okay? is that big on my phone. And he said, you never know what planting a seed will do. And it had a picture of a seed, and it had grown up through that rock and become a big old tree. The devil's told that young man, I don't fit in the church. The church ain't me. The church ain't like me. The church ain't this. The church ain't that. I got good news this morning. None of us are alike. And if we all become just like one another, we got a bad church. A good church is when we all look different, act different, smell different, do a lot of things different, but we all come together for one cause, and that's the cause of Jesus Christ. And we realize that all things work together for good to those that love God. This morning I want to ask you a question. How are you treating your best friend? If you're saved, your best friend is the Holy Ghost of heaven. How's your relationship with him? And if it ain't where it needs to be, I'd ask you this morning to come to this old-timey altar and do business with a God that's still on the throne. Will always be on the throne. If you're lost this morning, let me tell you this. He's your best friend still, the Holy Spirit is. He's going to be the one that draws you to salvation. If you need to talk with Jesus this morning, talk with God, come to this altar this morning. Do not go back and say, I got this on my own. He'll help you right where you're at. Father, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for the very, very many blessings of life. I thank you that small things can change our whole destiny. Small things can change our whole future. Small things can turn everything around. Father, just little bitty things, when you're in it, become so great. Just little bitty things when you're in it. Father, we got so many sick here just this last week that there was nothing that nobody in this building could do, but the greatest thing we could do was pray in the Spirit. And Lord God, when we'd gather around together and we'd pray in the Spirit and ask you to move, Father, they left Nashville and come home. Father, he's going to get out Monday out of Winfield. Little Hadley's going to come out of Memphis, Father. Father's just all over this place, what you do. And it's the little things that makes the big difference. Whoever the Spirit's talked to this morning, Father, I pray they get to this altar and not overlook that relationship they have with the Holy Ghost of heaven. That's the best friend we've got. And I thank you for him this morning. And I'm going to rely on the Holy Ghost to do his job at this time. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people said, amen. I ask you to stand.